Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fallen Queen by Mae Dawson, narrated by Anastasia Whatley and Alexander Steele. Prologue. Elisa. 6 years earlier. Fair loved to throw parties, and Herrick seemed to love to indulge us. But as dozens of Fey nobles streamed through the doors of the ballroom, I was keenly aware that Herrick watched from his throne on the dais. I desperately wanted to see two particular males tonight, but I couldn't find them anywhere in the crowd. I sipped my wine and made small talk and laughed and danced with everyone who asked me. From my behavior, no one would ever have guessed that I longed for two dark-haired males so intensely that despite the press of bodies in the room, goosebumps rose on my arms, as if I were cold without them near me, as if they were warmth and peace and comfort itself, wrapped up in big, muscular bodies. I'd told them not to come. Herrick was determined that I would not offend Rael by obviously courting other men when my own engagement ceremony was just a few months away. But I was still secretly disappointed every time I caught a glimpse of black hair or a broad-shouldered body, only to realize the features belonged to the wrong Fae.
Elisa.
Rael appeared at my side, gripping a crystal glass in either long-fingered hand. Rael? My tone was equally curt. As I took the glass from him, I caught sight of Fair nearby. He was talking to someone else, and yet I knew he could hear us. The brother I once adored had become our father's spy. I took a long sip, but I would never dare get drunk in the summer court. Rael watched me with those bright eyes that were the same ever-shifting colors as the sea outside.
I never offered that to you. How did you know it was yours?
Do you make a habit of waiting for things to be offered to you, Rael? Because you seem quite intent on taking me. I took his glass and sipped from it, too, then set them both on a nearby table. Rael rarely missed much. Had he seen Fair watching us? You should watch your tongue with me, by the way.
Is that so?
Rael watched me with a look of detached amusement fixed on his face, one that always reminded me oddly of myself. Sometimes when I looked at Rael, I understood why some people seemed to dream of smacking the smirk right off my lips. I took Rael's hand and drew him onto the dance floor. He stepped in close without hesitation, as if he'd known just what I'd do before I acted. His arm looped my waist easily, and my hand slid into his as I inhaled his crisp, fresh scent, like a breeze off the ocean. His body was tall and muscled, his shoulders broad but waist lean, and the fine material of his jacket was soft under my palm. I wish we'd met differently, Rael, I said.
Oh, would you be nicer to me if I were one of those rough, clumsy knights you seem to favor?
They're not clumsy, I promised. They could take your head off your shoulders, as could I. His lips quirked.
After all this time, I don't think you know me or what I'm capable of as well as you think. But you and I will get to know each other better.
You'd really want an unwilling bride?
I really want you,
he corrected. Why, I demanded, why are you so obsessed with me?
I'm not.
You're here, I said flatly. And while Herrick has so much to gain from a political marriage that controls the sea, Rael scoffed. He glanced past me, and I knew those magnetic ocean-colored eyes were scanning to see who could overhear us.
Your father may be overestimating just how much power he'll have when you're my queen.
The two of us swept seamlessly around the ballroom. Rael was quick on his feet, good at leading on the dance floor. I glanced at the other couples around us, who were laughing and smiling as they whirled around the rooms. The males all dashing, the females' gowns colorful as peacock feathers as they swirled over the marble. Royalty rarely married for love, and I wondered how many beautiful couples secretly hated each other. What do you get out of this? I demanded.
I won't tell just any female that, he said. But I'll tell my fiancé. I rolled my eyes. Fine, keep your secrets.
Tell me your secrets,
he said, pulling me even closer. Over his shoulder, I caught a glimpse of Fair. Despite the horned fae nibbling his ear, I was sure his proximity was no accident. Rael's breath felt like a caress when he whispered,
Tell me what you really want.
My lips twisted, my gaze still on Fair. I'm not going to tell you my secrets. I wouldn't even tell you my to-do list.
Very well, he said. Then I'll guess.
His voice was low in my ear, and his breath against the shell of my ear sent a strange shiver through my body.
Guess away, I murmured. Even the blindest of squirrels runs across a nut on occasion. Perhaps this is your lucky day. I think you would like to marry the Fall Princes,
he whispered, and tension seared through my body.
Both of them.
His hand caressed my hip and he murmured,
Relax, I'm not angry.
Oh?
I can share.
He nipped my earlobe with his teeth, and I pulled away so fast I might have tripped into the person behind me, except Rael reeled me close again.
You're a madman, Rael, I whispered.
My father, Herrick, would see us both dead instead of married if he knew Rael was willing to help me on my quest for the throne, and true love. I wasn't sure which I needed more, to save my people from Herrick or to save myself.
Perhaps.
A smile played at the corner of his lips.
I'm also your best chance of getting everything you want, Summer Queen.
I pulled away, staring at him. Perhaps we should discuss plans simply and honestly, so I can decide if I'm interested or not.
You and I are not on simple and honest terms, he told me.
That was certainly true. He would remember that when we had our engagement ceremony, which was planned for just a few months from now. I had no plans of being married anytime soon. The music faltered, then switched into the next tune. I used the break as an excuse to jerk away from Rael and bow to him.
You're too stubborn for sense,
he told me.
I'll come to you tonight. We can swim in the sea and talk.
I laughed at that. I'm not going into your territory.
I come into yours.
He gestured with his hand around the room. This isn't my territory. It's Herrick's.
Then show me yours.
He stepped subtly closer to me, his face intense.
Let me into your world. Let me know you as you truly are. That's all I desire.
I shook my head. I'm not going to pretend you and I can have some pleasant time together when you're trying to force yourself on me. If you want my attention, Rael, you'll have to change your approach. He stared at me, his eyes glittering darkly, the same color as the sea outside.
You are so smart, Elisa, and yet somehow you are such a foolish little girl at the same time.
He was so ridiculous that he shocked a laugh from me before I told him, No, that's definitely not the right approach. I spun on my heel and made my way through the dancers. As we came face to face, Fair half bowed to me. I didn't acknowledge my brother, and he didn't look as if he cared. It was eerie to see a face so much like mine and know he was my enemy. I could practically feel Herrick watching me. Even though he was up on the dais, his gaze felt hot on the back of my neck. I wished I could tear him down from that throne, let him sink beneath the waves along with the insufferable prince he'd chosen for me. I stormed into the long, cool hallway. It was open at one end to the sea, and when I breathed in, it was the same as inhaling that intoxicating scent of Rael's body. It just made me more furious. The servants closed the doors behind me, blocking out the happy noise of the band. The breeze blew up off the sea, rustling my gown and my hair around me. But I couldn't go toward the sea, not now. So I strode toward the garden instead.
I couldn't stand to go back to my room or anywhere else I was confined. If these males in my life had any say, I'd be trapped forever. Instead, I walked past the fountain, with the enormous tree in the center hung with enormous red jewels of fruit. The statue of my great-great-grandfather stood under the tree, half submerged in the water, paused with his arm raised and an apple gripped in his hand. "Hello, Grandfather," I said lightly, as I always did. There were dozens of statues surrounding us in the garden, many of them covered in flowers or green shrubbery. When I was little, and Herrick still loved me, he'd given them all names and stories. He'd spun tales for me about their lives while he pushed me on the swing.
"Alisa."
The voice was low and commanding, and I whirled to find Duncan emerging from the shadows. His handsome face was cold and haughty as ever, one hand in his pocket, as if he didn't care what he risked when he came to see me. My heart galloped. I'd longed for him so much, and here he was. "You shouldn't be here." I couldn't muster a polite tone, rattled as I felt after speaking with Rael. "It's a mistake." He shrugged one big shoulder.
"So it's a mistake. For you, I'll make mistakes."
The tightness of anxiety in my chest suddenly melted into warmth. "Come here," I said, catching his hand in mine. I drew him with me through the castle and into my rooms. Fair and I used to share them, but he'd moved into my father's apartment with him, leaving me alone. I'd been lonely at the beginning, but Fair and I just kept growing apart and angrier, and now I was glad to have the peace. "Nakia, wine, please," I told my servant. She nodded and disappeared through the door, closing it softly behind her.
"Do you think you've had enough?"
He frowned, pressing his hand to my cheek.
"You're flushed. I've never seen you like this."
"I'm angry, not drunk," I said, then managed to smile. "You've definitely seen me angry. Remember Edelwick's class? I'm pretty sure I was pissed off for the entire hour, 6 days a week."
"Perhaps,"
he said, but his gaze was troubled.
"Are you in trouble?"
"Maybe," I said. "It's the kind of trouble only I can deal with either way."
"You don't have to be alone,"
he told me. I did, but it was sweet that he wanted to help me anyway. Nakia returned soon with the wine and a tray full of snacks. "She knows me well," I said lightly, popping a berry into my mouth before I poured my glass and his. The two of us toasted, and some of my tension ebbed away as I drank with Duncan. He was silent, as he so often was, but there was comfort just in having him across from me. "Where's Azrael tonight?" I asked. I'd heard he was back from the rift, but I hadn't seen him yet. Just saying his name made my heart pound a little faster. I'd spent the past year, while Duncan was at the academy and Azrael was at the front, worrying over Az, and I'd missed them both more than I would ever admit.
"I told him I'd come pay our respects to Herrick, since he..."
He trailed off. We both knew how badly Herrick wanted to kill Azrael. That had been the worst part of having Az at the front. I'd thought Herrick might get his chance to make sure Az never returned. "Since Herrick wishes he'd pay his respects in blood?" I asked lightly.
"And I wanted to see you,"
he said flatly, and I couldn't hide my surprised smile. It was rare for Duncan to admit to how much power there was in the bond between us. "I'm glad you're here," I admitted, my voice soft. He touched my face, his fingertips skimming my cheek. When he leaned toward me, my breath caught in my chest.
"It was hell spending a year at the academy without you,"
he admitted.
"Your memory is everywhere for me. The place is empty without you."
He surprised me into smiling, but somehow, suddenly, my eyes filled with tears. I wished I'd had the chance to spend both years at the academy, even though it was a miserable place. I wished I'd had the chance to spend 2 years with him. "I'm here for now," I said, "for tonight. And I would make sure I never belonged to anyone else, exclusively, no matter how determined my father was to see me with Rael and Rael alone. Herrick was determined to make sure I lost my claim on the throne as I became someone else's queen. He didn't care about my happiness. But I could look after my own happiness. I was quite sure who would make me happy.
"For tonight,"
he whispered, and his mouth met mine. Then the two of us were pushing each other across the room, stripping each other's clothes off until we fell into my bed. I laughed as I scrambled on top of him, and he pushed his dark hair out of his eyes so he could smile up at me. It felt as if I'd been asleep for weeks, and I was just waking up now that he was here with me. Those sweet words were the end of us being tender with each other, thankfully. Tender wasn't really our style. His lips were hard and unyielding, like his grip, as if he was determined to claim me. I kissed him back just as fiercely, nipping at his lower lip, twining my arm around his neck so I could hold his mouth to mine. I ran the tip of my tongue along the seam between his lips until his mouth parted and our tongues danced together as I caught his cock in my hand. I used him like a toy, teasing his tip in circles against my slick opening, until he let out a groan and shoved inside me. I grinned, rolling my hips up. If he was that eager for me now, it meant we might well have sex half a dozen times before sunrise. I loved the way he needed me, no matter how much we pretended neither of us needed anyone. But it was a lie. I needed him, too, and so I fought him for control, the two of us punishing each other with fierce kisses and rough touches, trying to claim each other as if we could convert love instead into simple, manageable lust. I pressed his head into my breasts, my fingers spanning the back of his head, rocking my hips up against his cock. He pounded into me in a merciless staccato beat. By now, he knew I liked it rough. When he rocked deep inside me, he rolled his hips at the end of each thrust, sending a jolt of pleasure through me so intense I almost couldn't bear it. I bit him, my teeth sinking into that broad, powerful shoulder, his muscles rippling under my touch. He nipped me back, his teeth scraping against my skin just below my ear, finding the erogenous zone where that bit of pain was pure pleasure. I let out a laugh, my hand cupping his cheek, finding his faint beard stubble rough against my palm. "Couldn't be bothered to shave for the court, hmm?" I demanded.
"Snob,"
he said, still pumping inside me, both of us breathing hard now. He ran his fingers through my hair, sending tingles that seemed to go straight to my spine, until he fisted my hair at the back of my neck.
"I'll have to see if I can cure you of that someday."
"I'm sure you're an expert on humble manners, Prince." I taunted him, and he yanked my head back before his mouth claimed my throat. He went still, his cock buried deep inside me and my thighs tightened on his lean waist, holding him there close to me. My core was already squeezing around his cock in the lead-up to my orgasm. But he took his time, kissing the places where I liked to be kissed until he suddenly began to suck. I groaned at the sensation of his mouth drawing my skin, teasing and tugging, but that didn't stop me from smacking him. "You can't mark me," I said. I was supposed to be marrying Rael, although I had to find a way to fix that. I intended to marry all of the males I wanted. He raised glittering eyes to me.
"Is that so?"
We both knew I could heal myself, but I still loved his possessiveness as he went back to teasing my skin, my hips jerking against him as he marked his way down my throat. Then he found my nipple, his tongue teasing against the tip, and suddenly he was all tender. His hair brushed against my chin as he went to work on my nipple, running his tongue around it and sucking it until I was on fire with need. Duncan had learned my body and learned it well. I couldn't hide a moan, and he couldn't hide a self-satisfied smile. And then he finally straightened. He grabbed my thighs and held my legs up as he began to drive into me, so hard that the bed began to shift back and forth across the floor, scraping the marble. But I didn't care about the floor. Hell, I'd destroy whole kingdoms to have this male close to me. And maybe you will. I pushed away the thought that echoed through my mind so I could focus on Duncan, on the way he watched my face with those intense, icy blue eyes, his face as cold and stoic as ever to someone who didn't know him well. But I did. I saw the way his cruelly handsome lips parted, the way his breathing grew harsh and ragged when he was lost in me, his pupils dilated and those gorgeous eyes as if I were a drug. Then the beautiful boy blurred as pleasure swept through me, and my back arched, my fingertips skating across the smooth sheets before they fisted in the fabric and jerked them loose. But I knew he was watching me, always watching me, losing himself in my pleasure as much as his own. My moan as I came blended with his roar of satisfaction as the world turned into nothing but bright light and the force of that orgasm. Sheer, warm pleasure rippling through every limb. Then he fell onto the bed beside me, gathering me toward him, and I slid into his arms. "Never pegged you for a cuddler," I said, making myself comfortable in his arms.
"Shut up," he said. "I just try to humor your needy ass."
I grinned against his shoulder. He stroked my hair back from my face, then pressed a kiss to my forehead. He looked at me as if there was something he wanted to say, but he held himself back. I traced the hound tattoos on his chest, enjoying the sensation of the two of us curled up together. It felt like no time had passed since I'd been torn away from the academy. The two of us still came back together as if nothing had ever happened. I'd always been a wealthy princess, a gifted magician, a born warrior. But I'd never felt like a lucky girl until these males held me in their arms. Hours later, Nakia crept into my room when Duncan was asleep in my bed, his arm flung out across the sheets. I was still laying there awake, smiling to myself as I replayed the evening, until she knelt by my bed and whispered, "Your father requires your presence, princess." "Oh, no," I said, turning my back on her and nestling my head onto Duncan's shoulder. He stirred in bed. He was a light sleeper, as any Fey royal should be, and his hand skimmed up my back to rest on my hip. "He said you'd refuse," she said, "and he said to make it clear he'd have his guards drag you through the halls naked if you didn't obey." I yawned. What a frightful little male my father was. That seems awkward for all involved. I'd been so comfortable and happy curled up with Duncan. And of course, my father had wrenched that one little bit of joy away. I'd still be furious and wide awake once Nakia left, even if my father didn't make good on his lovely threat. I'd probably mind at the least, honestly. If those guards get a good look at my tits, they might change their loyalty from my father to me. They were a spectacular set of tits. Duncan would have agreed.
"Princess, please," Nakia whispered.
I sighed and finally rolled over. When I shook Duncan's shoulder gently, his eyes flew open immediately, deep blue and keen. "My father summoned me," I said. "I have to see what the old beast wants."
"Are you all right?"
he growled, worry written across his face. "I'm the model of the dutiful daughter," I said, and pressed a quick kiss to his forehead. I was naked when I rose from the bed and quickly dressed in one of my new gowns. Nakia darted over to lace up my corset. I didn't want to face my father in anything less, in case he had me dragged onto Rael's ship, or to the dungeon, or one of the sisters' keeps. Anything could happen, really. "Please go. Please be careful. No matter what happens."
"Always. I'm the soul of caution,"
he lied. Then he added,
"That's why you need me to balance you."
That was the truth, really, and I leaned forward to kiss him goodbye.
"I'll be there tonight,"
he said.
"A week's worth of festivities, but tonight is your true birthday, isn't it?"
"I guess so. Going to have a present for me?" He shook his head, but his smile told me another story. I was smiling when I slipped into the hallway, no matter what waited for me.
Behind me, he was dressing, preparing to disappear into the pre-dawn gloom. I glanced back at him over my shoulder just once, watching him with his head down, fastening his trousers. The muscles in his broad shoulders and arms rippled with every movement, and I wished I could go back and press myself against him once again. Instead, I followed a pale-faced Nakia down the hall to my father's apartments. When I walked into the vast marble entryway, the first golden rays of dawn were just escaping the dark sea. Herrick and Fair were drinking wine on the couch despite the late hour. "Breakfast wine, is that the fashion now?" I asked lightly.
"Happy birthday, Alisa,"
my father said, raising his glass to me, then to Fair, including him in the toast.
"It was the happiest day of my life when you two were born."
"So sorry that we've been a disappointment since," I teased.
"Oh, I wouldn't say that,"
Herrick disagreed. He glanced at Fair.
"Do you like this wine?"
"I do,"
Fair said. I glanced between the two of them, then took my seat on the couch. "You two seem pleased with yourselves. Why did you want to see me, Father?"
"What about you, Alisa?"
he asked, swirling the wine absently in his glass.
"Did you like the wine Nakia brought to your room? For you and your autumn lover?"
My heart froze in my chest.
"What did you do?"
"Easier to show you than explain,"
my father said. He flicked his fingers lazily to one side, murmured a word under his breath. I tried to catch his whisper, but my head was suddenly hot and dizzy. The world seemed to reel around me, and my stomach rose as if I were spinning.
"Easy,"
Fair said to me, reaching for my arm. He glanced at Herrick over his shoulder, but then turned back to me as I swayed. He caught my arms as I leaned forward, my muscles suddenly soft as jelly. I tried to ask what he did to me, but the words came out garbled. I frowned and tried again. Fair helped me down to the ground as my muscles tightened until it felt as if my bones would snap. My back arched as I let out a cry of pain, every muscle cramping into misery.
"I think she'll understand,"
Fair snapped at Herrick. His hands were on my shoulders, cradling me onto the floor.
"It brings me no pleasure to hurt your sister,"
Herrick said. His words were distant, because my eardrums popped as pain coursed through my body. Fair started to say something, but the world was fading black. Then suddenly the wave of pain receded. Every muscle relaxed, and I sagged into the ground. But my muscles all still ached, and my head reeled as if I were drunk. I got to my knees and launched myself across the room, desperate to get out of there, to get to a weapon.
"Alisa,"
Herrick's voice was sharp as a whip crack.
"There's nowhere for you to run, daughter. Try to listen for once."
Fair was there, his hands on my shoulders as he turned me around. His eyes were wide with worry, and for a second, I saw the twin brother who loved me, the one I'd die for, the one I'd always thought would die for me. Then he said,
"You'd better listen if you want to save Duncan."
He stared me back toward the couch, pressed me down into the cushion. I fought the constant rise of nausea, tasting bile at the back of my throat, and I stared at my father, trying to fight through the fog in my mind.
"What do you want?"
I asked, my voice coming out thick, and I swallowed.
"You're going to end things with Duncan tonight,"
Herrick said.
"The same poison was in his wine tonight, and the effects last for some time."
He smiled at me coolly.
"But feel free to test me. I know how headstrong you are."
"Why?" I demanded.
"You are not going to marry that pair of lovesick idiots,"
Herrick sneered. Did he hate Duncan and Azrael most of all because they genuinely loved me?
"I want you to break him,"
Herrick warned me.
"No tender, tearful breakup. Hurt him, because if you don't,
I'll kill him.
Break him? What?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?